The Mayfly, written by James Hazel and read by Tim Bruce. The frozen earth was veiled in a thin covering of snow that crunched under Detective Chief Inspector Tiff Rowlinson's boots. In a glade, the log cabin looked as though it had come out of a fairy tale, complete with a tall stone chimney and heart-shaped etchings above the door. A local landowner had built it for his daughter as a summer house 60 years ago, but it had long since been abandoned and was now swathed with climbing plants and moss. A sanctuary built out of love and innocence, defiled in the most grotesque manner. Rowlinson slowly circled the little wooden structure, his hands behind his back and his coat collar turned up inside the white plastic overall. The crime scene investigators mingled uncertainly, watching where they trod. They had established a perimeter with reams of blue and white plastic tape around the glade. Rowlinson had been here before. Too many times. He'd seen too many bodies, too many weeping loved ones, and too few prosecutions. He didn't feel much anymore. The endless cycle had anaesthetized him. Except in these woods. In these woods, Rowlinson felt again. He approached the entrance to the cabin and ducked through the doorway. Inside, the air was stale and heavy. He fumbled for the inhaler in his coat pocket, felt a little relief at feeling the familiar plastic tube and the tip of the metal canister. He no longer noticed the bitter cold. The room was empty, save for the victim, and the flesh-eating flies swarming around what was left of him. The victim's head was slumped over the back of a wooden chair, mouth and eyes wide open. His skin was yellow and withered, a reaction to the poison, Rowlinson had been told, but he now understood a comment one of the Soko team had made a short while ago. Poor bastard looks like someone sucked his soul clean out. He was naked, and his arms were covered with deep lacerations, but that was nothing compared to his chest. The flesh was hanging off, exposing a crimson network of muscle and tissue. There were similar wounds on the lower half, but everything was so saturated in blood it was hard to make out which parts of him remained intact and which didn't. "Jesus!" a voice behind Rowlinson gasped. He turned to find Hardwick in the entrance, hand over his mouth. "What the hell have we got here, Gov?" D.S. Hardwick was a foot shorter than his superior, but still managed to fill the little cabin with his portly frame. He was a city boy with a swaggering gait, but a decent copper, despite his lack of charm. "The damage is self-inflicted," Rowlinson said quiet. "He tore his own skin off, boss." Rowlinson peered more closely. Tireism, excretion of foamy saliva, but to such an extent that the victim had been unable to control it by swallowing alone. At some point, he'd introduced his fist into his mouth in order to induce vomiting, but it ended up biting down so hard that he'd almost taken his hand clean off.